but they're first in offensive rating right now at 120 points a game, 24th in defensive rating at 114. So the defense is a little bit sketchy, but there's more to that story. Welcome back, basketball fans. Thank you for tuning into another episode of the BCB Podcast. This is Aaron Washington, your host. I'm back on the mic with you guys, solo for this episode, but I promise next episode, I have a great guest in store for you guys. So this is just a one-time deal. Bear with me just for today, and I'll be sure to bring back the hitting guest next week. So I promise not to go too far with this. I know hearing one voice on the podcast can get a little tiresome, so I promise to kind of cut this and make this a little bit shorter for you guys. You don't have to put up with me for too long. But in this episode 135, we're discussing a few hot topic storylines as we go into the second half of the NBA season. As you all know, the All-Star game just finished up a few days ago. Team LeBron came out on top once again. No surprise there. He was my pick to win that game due to the roster he assembled. He is one of the greatest GMs in the league. Enough said on that front. But with the second half of the season, there are a few storylines that I'm checking out. Of course, we can come up with dozens of storylines because there's 30 teams. And each team has a different story, multiple stories that, can captivate us and really catch our attention. But I have four here that I wanted to share with you guys, and I'm sure you guys have the same on your dockets as you go through this NBA season. We have 30 plus games remaining, so there's still a good bit of ball left to be played. So I want to dive into a few things that I'm checking out here. And, it's really going to make for some fun basketball as we approach March, April, and May. But before we do that, let's check out a few storylines that are really going to be interesting to follow as we go through the rest of this NBA season. The first of which, no surprise here, you probably knew it was coming. The Brooklyn Nets are a hot topic across the entire league right now. They're making for some fun basketball in more ways than one. And the main driver of the success here is James Harden. He is rising up MVP boards quite quickly right now due to an incredible play, both in the scoring department and via assist. I mean, he is an incredible floor general, and he has been for quite some time. And him and Kyrie Irving came to an agreement basically that they're going to swap roles for the rest of the season. And that involves James Harden taking on more of a point guard role while Kyrie Irving plays a little bit more off the ball. And he's going to be a beneficiary of James Harden dominating more of the action. So if we're looking at the record right now, they're just a half game behind the Philadelphia 76ers for first in the conference. So their record right now, as of this recording, is 24-13, and they're 10-1 in their last 11 games. So this team is on an extremely impressive run right now. I mean, they almost won 11 games in a row. So they're on the kind of roll that we've only seen from the Utah Jazz right now. And as we know, Utah is dominating in the Western Conference, doing their own thing over there. But Brooklyn was kind of sketchy getting off to a slightly erratic start. I mean, they lost to the Wizards a couple of times, so they were really off to a rocky start. So there were questions that arose about their legitimacy in the conference. But, I mean, there's no question that this team is elite as far as offense goes. Their defense is a work in progress. But with a team with this much talent, you knew they wouldn't stay down for long. And that's why I wasn't too down on them at the beginning of the season. I mean, incorporating James Harden and incorporating these new pieces is going to take time. Kevin Durant was coming off a major injury. Kyrie Irving has had injuries of his own. So, I mean, there's no shocker here that it was going to take them time to gel, but they have gelled in a big way. I mean, they're first in offensive rating right now. I'm getting these stats off of Cleaning the Glass. If you use Basketball Reference, it might be a little bit different for you, but they're first in offensive rating right now at 120 points a game, 24th in defensive rating at 114. So the defense is a little bit sketchy, but there's more to that story. If we look at the last 2 weeks specifically, this team ranks 14th in defensive efficiency at 112. So what that tells me is that this team is getting better on defense as the season progresses. You know, people like Bruce Brown, DeAndre Jordan are really finding their niche, finding their role in this team. And they're doing great things for the perimeter defense and then the post defense respectively. So you incorporate guys like that, you're going to see gains on the defensive side of the ball. And plus, as the season progresses, you know, your defensive philosophy starts to get settled in a little bit more. People understand what they're looking for, what they're supposed to be doing on the basketball court. Steve Nash has done a great job of incorporating his various systems and how he wants his team to play a little bit more with a tempo. You know how Nash is going to do with that team. I mean, he was a part of the 7 seconds or less offense with the Suns, so he's brought a little bit of that touch to the team. Mike D'Antoni, he was a part of that as well. So with those two guys in the fold, this team is going to play fast. They're going to play with energy, and they're playing with a lot of heart too. And that's something you don't see from super teams. Sometimes you see teams let their foot off the gas. They're a little bit more kind of conservative, but This team is anything but conservative right now. So Harden, since joining the Nets, since he's been the big catalyst for this drive, 25 points a game, 8 rebounds, 11 assists on shooting splits of 49, 42, and 85. So not only is he putting up big numbers, but he's putting up incredible efficiency. So this guy's getting to the free throw line a little bit less than before, but he's hitting threes in an incredible clip, because we have to remember that this isn't the Houston Rockets where it's Harden or die. Harden is getting a lot easier looks now. I mean, he's still operating in the isolation sets as he did before, but there's more pick and roll being ran now that we haven't seen Harden really do since he was with the Rockets in one of his first seasons. The first season with Mike D'Antoni, they ran a lot of pick and roll. What are we seeing now? A recurrence of that kind of play style. So a lot of more pick and rolls. He can work with Bruce Brown. He can work with Kyrie Irving, guard-on-guard pick and rolls. You know, that's deadly in their own right. And then you bring in a guy like DeAndre Jordan. He's going to be incredible using the pick and roll, using his roll gravity going to the rim. That provides an extra layer of offensive variation as well. So you put all that into, you know, in together, you put it in the pot, you stir it up, and you're getting an incredible offensive output from Harden and the team. So, you know, all of that is really making for an incredible recipe of offense, and it's fun basketball to watch. A lot of times we get to watching these teams because it's like they have the big names. But why do we watch teams that have the big names? Because they just make basketball look easy. Harden does that. KD does that. They do it better than almost anybody else in the world. So you put those two guys together, even without KD in the fold, it's like these two guys together are incredible. They're absolutely insane when it comes to driving offense. And I mentioned Bruce Brown just a minute ago. This guy, he's one of my favorite players to watch right now because he does the little things. He's like a Marcus Smart or a Van Vliet, a Kyle Lowry for the Brooklyn Nets. So he's very underrated right now. You know why? He is a restricted free agent at the end of this season. Right now, he's making about $1.8 million. I could be a little bit off on that, but he's definitely making close to a minimum salary. And for that, you're getting a starter-type player that is not great at shooting the ball. He's not really going to create much of his own looks, but in this system, he is incredible. So he's at 72% at the rim right now. That's 86th percentile for his position. And he's at 52% in the short mid. So if you guys go and look at a Brooklyn Nets game, you're going to see Bruce Brown get so many looks inside. They're going to be easy looks. They're going to be looks that provided by James Harden. He is spoon feeding Bruce Brown these looks. And you have to give Harden credit because of his incredible court vision. But you also have to give credit to Bruce Brown because he knows where to be on the court at all times. He's going to find those openings. He's great at cutting. He's great at getting on the boards. And people underestimate him because they see him as a 6'4 non-shooter. That's not very intimidating, right, in today's day and age of basketball, except that it is, because he knows where to be and when to be there. So he's going to feast on second looks. He's going to feast on some of those dip-down passes. He's going to feast on those look-ahead passes that Harden has in semi-transition. So you put all that together, and then you come up with a guard that is almost masquerading as a big man, right? Because he runs these pick-and-rolls with Harden. He loves to get down and dirty in the paint. So he's like a 6'4 center. And it's blowing my mind how the NBA is like crisscrossing positions. We don't have 7-foot centers and that's it anymore. We don't have guys that are 6'3 and they just operate on the perimeter. Guys are crisscrossing. The wires are getting crossed. They're doing different roles. But that's fun because it allows guys like Bruce Brown to have a role in the offense. They're not just like driven into one role. They can do multiple things on the basketball court. Guys like him, you see guys like Dort for the Thunder doing the same thing. Jason Tate for the Rockets doing a similar thing. I'm probably going to write about those two guys soon because they're like 6'3", 6'4 guards, but they're playing like centers. They're playing bully ball. They're getting rebounds. They're playing defense. So those guys are extremely valuable to any team, but especially the title contenders, because they need guys like that to kind of connect the loose ends, connect those threads, you know, the little things that a team needs to be successful when things get kind of slower, when you need guys to really kind of find a look in the thick of the defense, and you can't just dribble your way through and find a good look there. So definitely keep an eye on Bruce Brown as the season progresses, because he's going to make some money this offseason. I'm curious to see if the Rockets really want to take on extra money, as they're going to be in luxury tax for this season and multiple seasons to come. And that's going to activate the luxury tax repeater tax penalty as we go through the year. So they're going to have to reconsider some of their decisions here, I'm sure, sooner rather than later. Joe Harris has already been paid. DeAndre Jordan is making a good bit amount of money. The big three are being paid. And then Bruce Brown is just going to add on to the finances that the Brooklyn Nets are going to have to pour into their team. So we're going to see how dedicated this team is to putting a product on the court that is going to have to be paid this much money.
Listen, I love podcasting. Who doesn't? The process is great until you get to the part where you have to edit and distribute your podcast. It's time consuming, and we all love convenience. Well, here's the most convenient option possible. It's called Anchor. There's creation tools in the app that will allow you to record and edit right from your phone, tablet, or computer. It will distribute your podcast for you on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other popular platforms. You can make money from your podcast with minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go to the free Anchor app or anchor.fm right now to get started. And trust me, you won't regret it.
But speaking of money, guys, we have to talk about Blake Griffin, because they allocated just a minimum salary to bring in a guy like Blake Griffin to help on the second unit to provide some depth. I'm not sure if he's going to get playoff minutes right now. I really would be surprised if he got a ton of minutes in the playoffs. But for the stretch run of the regular season, I can see him having a pretty nice role. And I looked at an article from Dan Devine of The Ringer, and he had some really good words on the implementation of Blake Griffin and what he can offer to this team. So basically what he was saying is, like, he's going to be a great fit for this team, and he's going to offer a lot of great things, like being a good scorer in the post a little bit still. He's got that in his game. He's going to be a pick-and-pop threat, running some 4 and 5 pick-and-rolls with KD. He's going to do, you know, he's going to hit those threes if he can get that back in his game. I think he's still got the three-pointer in his game. I think he just had a little bit down year prior to getting to Brooklyn. But he can survey the floor in the short roll. So you give him the ball at the free throw line, he's going to be able to kind of see the court and make some quick passes to the corner, dump it into the paint for maybe like a DeAndre Jordan or a Bruce Brown to finish in there. So he's going to have a pretty nice role with his team, and it seems like a great place for him to take advantage of those gifts, because now he's not trying to be someone that he isn't anymore. He's not a primary option. He's not an all-star. He's not an all-NBA third-team type player that he was like 2 years ago with Detroit. So now you plug him into a smaller usage role, and he can take advantage of those gifts a little bit better. He doesn't have to create for himself. He can just focus on creating for other people. So that's going to be a huge development for this team. And I can't wait to see how he kind of continues to develop with Brooklyn, seeing as though, you know, he's looked crippled in Detroit. He's looked like a shell of himself. But give him an opportunity to just kind of focus on what he does the best, which is pass and work in the pick and pop. He's going to be a great player for this team. So I'm really excited to see how that works out for Brooklyn. And I'm excited to see how this team continues to mesh together, because there's a lot of talent here. I was scared that it wouldn't work together because of all the different egos of this team and the one basketball kind of philosophy that we talked about before. But you throw in this talent, and you throw in talent that knows how to kind of work together, and there's not much that's going to be able to stop them. So if they can work that defense down a little bit more, they get closer to maybe 10, the top 10 in defensive rating, defensive efficiency, then we're going to see this team be a real force when it comes to the playoff time. They're going to be in contention and have a chance to be, one of the best teams in this season and end up with a championship. So it's going to come down to the defense, because the offense is there. The offense, there's no question that it's established. They just need the defense to accompany that, and they're going to be off to the races, guys. No question about it. So anytime the Nets are on your TV, ESPN, TNT, whatever the case is, turn that junk on, because they're one of the best teams, one of the most fun teams to watch right now. So another development here that we have for the second half of the season, the comeback tour for the playoff regulars. So moving forward here, I'm looking at four teams that have been a little bit slower out of the gates this season, but they're going to have a great opportunity to kind of make up some ground, because these schedules are getting easier for these teams. So I'm looking at Miami, Boston, Dallas, and Toronto. So these teams are kind of hovering probably in like the average range right now, if we're talking about teams and where they fall in the standings. So if we go to the standings real quick and just look at how these teams are performing, Miami is sixth at 500. Boston is fourth. Dallas in the Western Conference after a win last night. And, you know, they're tied for seventh. So they really made some progress after a rough start in January. And then Toronto here is at eighth. So these teams are, you know, none of them are really in the top tier of their respective conferences, but we know they're capable of that because of the talent on their teams, the personnel, and what we saw from them last season. So I think some of that is going to come into play as we move through the season. But that being said, Miami has the fourth easiest schedule according to 538. So Miami is going to be back in the mix, I think. I've been rooting for this team to kind of get back on their feet. Bam Adebayo is still having some knee tendonitis, so he won't be available tonight. But once he is back, this team should be off and running. They have some really easy matchups coming up here. So looking at their schedule for their next several games, I mean, they're playing teams like the Magic tonight. They're playing the Bulls. They play the Magic again on Sunday. They play the Cavs. They play the Grizzlies, the Pacers. So none of those teams are really super intimidating. So they're going to have a chance to really get out on like a 3-1 stretch, 4-1, 5-2, something like that. If they can do that, Miami has a chance to push into the top four, maybe even top three of the conference, because a team like Milwaukee, we're used to seeing Milwaukee take off, and they're usually like way ahead of the pack. Not the case this year. So Milwaukee, compared to the Heat, they're only about four games ahead of the Heat. That's the same difference between Miami and like the Orlando Magic at the 13th seed, 14th seed. So that's not really that big of a gap. So with that being said, Miami has a great chance to be not only have home court advantage, but be one of the three best teams in terms of record in this conference. And that's incredible because Miami had a stretch back in January, February, where they were 7-14. They were 13th in the conference. Dallas had a similar situation where they were down at like 12th, 13th in the conference. But both teams have bounced back because they've gotten into a rhythm now. Big part of basketball is rhythm, consistency, consistent rotations, consistent minutes, things like that. So now that that's established, these teams are back into the situations that we're used to seeing. Going forward, looking at the Celtics schedule, they have the second easiest schedule according to 538 for the next second half of the season. So it's crazy because they didn't have an extremely difficult schedule in the first half, but yet in the second half, they have one of the easiest. So schedule making is tough. It's not an exact science. There's going to be some variation in that, but the next several games for the Celtics, for you Celtics fans that are looking for some optimism here, not going to happen tonight. I mean, they play Brooklyn, so that's going to be a tough test. But after that, I mean, the Rockets have been awful. They haven't won in the last 11 games. The Jazz is going to be tough, but you got the Cavs after that, the Kings, the Magic, the Grizzlies. So you have some easy matchups coming up mixed in with some tough games. So I think the Celtics are going to be in a great position to just really operate at a position of strength and just kind of get the rhythm back. Tatum and Brown are consistent. They're going to be constants across pretty much every game. But after that, it's like, who's going to step up for them? Who's going to be the third guy? Kemba Walker, I think, is coming into his own again after knee surgery, just trying to get his rhythm back. I think he's going to be back in the fold and getting himself back right. Marcus Smart is supposed to be back tonight. That's what we've been hearing. So Marcus Smart back in this lineup is going to be huge for this lineup. I can't wait to see how he kind of gets his feet wet with this lineup now, with his team. I mean, he hasn't played in several weeks. So, you know, Marcus Smart, you know, the hustle is going to be there, but I just want to see how the shooting is going to kind of adjust. That takes some time usually for these guys to come back and really be effective on the offensive end. But can't wait to see Marcus Smart back, just kind of diving on the ground for loose balls and just doing the little things for this team, just being a defensive pest, being a rebounder, being an energy player. Because for the Celtics, it's like, besides Marcus Smart, who do they have that's really like an enforcer, energy player, grit and grind? They don't have many of those guys on the roster besides Marcus Smart. So that's why, one of the reasons why he means so much to this team. He's so valuable. He's so tough. He's versatile. He can guard almost any position. So just having him back on this team is going to make things so much easier for everybody else, because they can kind of get back to what they do best, scoring, just being, just doing some of the other things like getting points. So Marcus Smart could slot back in there and he could provide some stability. And that's going to be a lot for the Boston Celtics going forward for their schedule. So, you know, they're in a good position. And then it goes down from there to Dallas. So you're looking at Dallas. They have the fifth easiest schedule, according to 538. And I'm sure it's going to be a little bit different depending on what outlet you're looking at. But even if you're looking at like Positive Residual on Twitter, he has a really good algorithm for calculating schedule, or Basketball Reference or something like that. They're all probably going to be similar. So maybe Dallas is not fifth on Basketball Reference. Maybe they're a little bit higher or lower, but they're all in the same general area, you know? So basically what I'm trying to say is they all have fairly easy schedules going forward compared to some other teams in the league. So for Dallas, I mean, fifth easiest schedule, let's look at who they have coming up on their schedule. So two games against Spurs, two games Blazers. That they're playing the Timberwolves, the Pacers, and the Pelicans. So it may not be the next few games that offer the kind of relief these teams are looking for. But if you kind of go forward for the next few weeks, it's definitely going to kind of even out. And teams are definitely going to have an opportunity to get back on their feet and really rack up some wins after the slow starts they were getting off to. So I really am excited for the Dallas Mavericks, because you're looking at a guy like Porzingis, you're looking at Luka. Porzingis came out of the gates and had 28-14 last night against the San Antonio Spurs. That's a great sign to me. It shows me that even though Porzingis has had about a week off, he's going to be in great position to continue to kind of build his confidence, because that's what he's really been lacking over the past, I don't know, say a season or so, going back to the bubble. The confidence builds for him, but it kind of gets knocked down once he has an injury. So he needs a little bit of a ramp-up time. That's what he used this season for earlier on. But now that he's got some games under his belt, he's really electric. And I don't think Dallas is ready to move on from him. I mean, he's been in trade rumors recently, but Porzingis is such a valuable guy. I think you're going to leave him in that lineup. I don't think they've given up on him yet. He's in the second year of a five-year max contract. They put a lot of resources into Porzingis, from the guys they traded to get him, to just the time they've invested in getting it built back up physically. You know, I think Porzingis is going to be there for a while, so I wouldn't count on him being moved quite yet, at least another season or so. If this persists, maybe they think about it, but they've spent a lot of time trying to get him back up and running with Luka. So I think he's going to be around a little bit longer, and he's getting really confident again. I think once he gets that confidence back in his legs and his knees, you're going to see that defensive presence come back. I just read an article a little bit earlier today about Porzingis' defensive numbers in the past five games or so, and it's looking a lot better. So if we extrapolate that for the rest of the season, I think Dallas is going to be in great position to continue to make a run in the second half of the season. I mean, they are, you know, I had them pegged as like a fifth seed, a fourth or fifth seed, you know, preseason projections. So I think if we're looking forward, we're going to see that team kind of return to action, you know, for the Dallas Mavericks. So I'm not worried about them at all. Luka is Luka. They're going to figure it out. They have a great coach. They have a great system. They'll be fine. Toronto is a little bit of a different situation. They're at seventh easiest schedule, so slightly more difficult, but I think they're going to be okay as well. Looking at where they fall in this kind of the scheduling mix, the next few opponents look to be the Hawks, the Hornets, the Bulls, the Pistons. They have the Cavaliers a little bit after that, the Rockets. So this is prime time for the Toronto Raptors to kind of get back to their identity. They're dealing with some COVID issues right now. Van Vliet is out of action. They're missing some guys in their lineup, but like once they get everybody back in whole, Toronto's going to be back there in the mix as well, guys. So there's a recurring theme. All of these teams have gone off to a slower start, but they have easy schedules and they have guys coming back from injury and really playing like themselves going forward. So I'm not worried about any of these teams here. I think they all rank in the top. They're all going to be at least in the playoffs. Maybe somebody has to do the play-in game at the seventh seed, but that's I think that's a worst-case scenario. Everybody here ends up at like sixth, fifth, or fourth in the conference because of like who they are, who we saw last season, and they have the great players to make that happen. So not worried about any of those guys going forward. I think they'll be fine. And keep your eye on those teams, because I think we've seen the best is yet to come for all four of those teams for a variety of reasons that I've kind of talked about previously. Next storyline that I wanted to kind of take a look at is the New York Knicks, because they have not been to the playoffs since 2013. So Knicks fans are craving another playoff appearance. It's in the cards, and it's going to be a little more difficult than you think, because they have one of the toughest schedules remaining in the NBA. I think top three or four toughest schedules left, according to various outlets. So if we're looking at just from that perspective, it's going to be an uphill battle. They might have to go into like a play-in game scenario where they're trying to just kind of claw their way in. But even if it comes down to that, I think they have a great chance. And here's why. The improvements from last season are not offensively driven. They're not offensively driven where it's like, oh, they're just shooting. It's a blip in the matrix as far as long-range shooting. This is stuff I think is going to persist through the season. It's easier to replicate than an offensive surge. It's a defensive attention to detail here. Here are some numbers I pulled from Basketball Reference, and this is compared to last season for the New York Knicks. So, you know, they are allowing a 5% decrease. There's a 5% decrease for their opponents from three this season compared to last season. Also, you know, their opponents are taking about 8% less threes a game, and then their opponents are taking about 10% less free throws a game. So they're kind of hitting their mark in two ways here. They're allowing their opponents to get less threes and less free throws. So if you do that, that's what teams want now. They want to succeed from three. They want to succeed from the free throw line. So if you're taking those away, man, you're in great shape already. I mean, that's the modern game of basketball. I think those things are sustainable for the most part. Three-point shooting could be a little bit more sketchy. It could be a little bit more random. But I think at least with the free throw shooting and just defense at the rim, if that can hold, man, the Knicks are going to be in great position to make the playoffs again. So shout out to all the Knicks fans out there that stuck with this team through all the tough years. This is a different Knicks team. I did not see this coming whatsoever. So I'm very impressed on what they've been based on what they've been able to do so far. And I think it's somewhat sustainable. So I'd say maybe they end up at 7th or 8th when it comes down time for the playoffs. But, you know, they have to win one game out of two. And I think they're, you know, able to do that if they're playing the Wizards, maybe in the playoff game, or they're playing the Hawks or something like that. I give them the edge because of what they've displayed thus far. And partly because of a guy named Julius Randle. You may have heard of him. He might be most improved player right now. You know, he's probably top two, I would say, in terms of most improved. I mean, he's been lights out. His shooting is completely transformed. I mean, he is a high 30% shooter now from three. Even from the mid-range, he's been solid. He's still playing bully ball in the paint. He's getting on the boards. He's like a point forward. I mean, what is he not doing right now? Having a guy like that on your team, man, he leads the league in minutes right now played. So, I mean, he's grinding it out there, guys. And what do you expect? If a Tom Thibodeau team didn't have somebody leading the league in minutes played, I would be shocked. So this is nothing new for a Tom Thibodeau team. He's playing a ton of minutes. RJ Barrett is playing a ton of minutes. So RJ Barrett went third in a redraft that John Hollinger did for The Athletic. So he took Zion first in the redraft, right? That's easy. John Morant second. RJ Barrett came in third, and I agree with it. If we take a look at how he's progressing so far, he's cut down on his turnovers by 2%. His assist percentage compared to his usage rate is in the 43rd percentile. So that's up from the 27th last year. So compared to how much he's dominating the ball, he's really finding his teammates quite a lot right now. He's shooting 5% more shots from mid-range, 3% less from three. But with that trade-off, he's shooting more from mid, but he's shooting better for the mid-range. So now he's about an average shooter from three, an average shooter from the mid-range. And that's a really good development because he's only 20 years old, guys. RJ Barrett came in and he was a pretty unrefined, raw player coming in. I think he really, in college, high school and college, he really tried to take advantage of his physicality. That's really what kind of gave him the edge or gave him an advantage earlier on. So he didn't really have to focus on shooting and some of those specifics of the game. But now his shooting is coming around. His defense has improved. And that is an excellent development for a guy that's in his second year at age 20. So once that is addressed and that continues to evolve and improve, they have a really nice young prospect on their hands. So I'm just praying, I'm just hoping that this team could not screw that up like they did with Porzingis. You get an All-NBA talent, an all-star talent. Don't screw it up. Just continue to build on this team, build on success. Maybe keep Randle in the fold, keep winning, and keep RJ happy. So he wants to build something in New York and not want to dip after 3 or 4 years with the organization. So that's something to keep an eye on. But overall, the Knicks are looking really good, guys. They're really impressive. And like I said, I think this is sustainable for the most part. I think there's going to be a small drop off in the second half. There might be a little bit of a losing streak here and there. But overall, I mean, man, this team is so, so impressive. And hats off, kudos to Tom Thibodeau for really taking hold of this team and keeping them accountable and just really expecting a lot out of them because, I mean, that's only fair. That's only fair to expect a lot out of this team for, you know, somebody that a team that's been in the rut for so long at the bottom of the league. So big things to come for New York, and it's going to be fun to watch them as they compete for a playoff spot. Even if it's in the play-in, I give them a great chance to move on to the actual playoff action. To wrap up this podcast, guys, I know you're kind of probably ready for me to wrap this up, but the MVP race is something we got to look at here. So there's five names that I think are in the top five of the MVP conversation, and I would not put anybody else in this top five. In order, if you guys want to chime in, you want to let me know what you think, I would love that. But here's what I have for my top five right now. Embiid is at one. Jokic is at 1A or 1B. I don't really want to say number two because he's been that good. I can't really put him clearly at two, so I'm kind of cheating here. But 1A and 1B are like Embiid and Jokic. If the Nuggets keep winning like this and Jokic keeps playing like this, he's going to win it. He's definitely going to win it. He's been insane. So those guys are 1A and 1B, the big man. How cool is that to see two centers in the thick of the MVP race? That is awesome. We haven't seen that in a long time, like really a long time, probably a decade or two. Number three, I have Dame Dalla, Damian Lillard. He's out here carrying the team on his back. He's got the team in the top six of the Western Conference. With all these entries, I mean, come on now. We have Nurkic missing a lot of time. We have CJ McCollum, who was at an all-star level before he got hurt. He was playing lights out. He's been out for several weeks. And other guys have missed time kind of here and there all over the place. I mean, he's been working with disjointed rosters. I mean, Zach Collins hasn't played. I don't think he's played a second this season. Enes Kanter is filling in admirably for the big men spot. So he's working with a roster that at the beginning of the season, we thought was going to be the best roster that Lillard has had probably maybe since that 2014 squad when they had LaMarcus Aldridge and those guys. But overall, it's been a real departure for what was expected from Lillard in the organization. He's responded in a big way. He is top four in the league in scoring, just a hair ahead of Stephen Curry. And he's got the team playing a little bit better than the Warriors right now, which is incredible. With the schedule they've been playing, I mean, I think they have a slightly tougher schedule in the second half. But if they even stick in the top six or seven of the conference, I mean, Lillard is top five MVP conversation, no question. He's been insane. Number four, I have James Harden. He's creeping up to three, though. I mean, James Harden's been that guy. If KD continues to miss games and Harden continues to do this and he moves the Nets into the number one seed, man, he's going to be knocking on the door of the MVP conversation. People have arguments to this. They say, like, well, he didn't start the year with the team and, you know, he had a difficult start. That's all true. But, I mean, a guy that's, you know, dropping 27, 28 points a night, averaging 11 assists, getting boards, be the catalyst to one of the best teams in the NBA, he has to be at the top of the conversation. So he's working his way up. A few more games, he might be third for me. He is moving up very quickly up that leaderboard. And then fifth, I have LeBron. He's been dropping a little bit lately. The team hasn't been as dynamic. The Lakers are struggling. They have some injuries. I don't see how he wins it this year, to be honest. Just looking at how Embiid, Jokic, and Harden are playing right now. Their teams are at the top of the conference. Well, Jokic is moving up. He might end up in the top three over the next few weeks. But overall, I mean, LeBron's team has been trending downward. And I think they will remain in the thick of the contender conversation, probably in the top three or four of the conference. But I don't know. I think he might start to maybe not be the actual superhuman LeBron we're used to seeing. Maybe he's slightly below that. And I think that's enough of a drop-off to take him out of the MVP conversation, or at least the top three or four. But if he remains at four or five, and then they can get Anthony Davis back and they can reclaim some of that offensive juice they had at the beginning of the season, the Lakers will be fine. I mean, if the Lakers are healthy, I still pick them to win the championship. Honestly, they're going to need some role players to kind of step up again, and they're going to need to get some shooting back. But overall, I think the Lakers are in a great place, and they just need to kind of ride the wave. And that's what it comes down to sometimes when you're in the NBA, you're going through a tough part of your life, tough period of the season, whatever it is, you just kind of got to ride the wave. You got to ride it out. So the Lakers will do that. They'll be in a great position. But if we go to Basketball Reference, and they have an MVP tracker page, and we look at who is kind of in the thick of that conversation, like who is leading right now based on what they think. So they have Jokic at number one. They give him a 46% chance to win the MVP award, followed by James Harden at two at a 16% chance. To round out the top five, they have Embiid at number three at a 15% chance, so right behind James Harden. Fourth, they have Giannis at 8%. And then fifth, they have Damian Lillard with a 3% chance. And they have LeBron outside the top five right now at sixth with only a 3% chance to win the MVP this season. So maybe some of you are wondering, why don't I have Giannis in the top five? For me, it comes down to, I don't know, the Bucks have been a little bit up and down. If you put him in the top five, I have no problem with that. He could definitely be sought in fifth instead of LeBron. I think that's fair. They're still a great team this season. There's just been a slight drop off. Giannis has still been incredible. His team has been a little shaky. So now they're at third in the conference. They've dropped. They don't look elite right now. They look really good. They don't look elite. Maybe that changes as Drew Holiday gets more reps and he comes back from a bout with COVID. But yeah, fourth or fifth, you know, something like that for Giannis right now. I definitely would have put him in the top four. I'd take Lillard over him, Harden, Jokic, and Embiid. That's open to interpretation. Giannis doesn't need to be the MVP. As long as Giannis is Giannis, the team will be in good shape. They need Middleton to kind of continue his shooting pace into the playoffs, and they need Drew Holiday to be an all-NBA, all-defensive type guy as they go into the stretch run. That's what they need. They're not worried about Giannis winning another MVP. That was already a long shot. The last guy to win MVP 3 years in a row, I believe, was Larry Bird from 84 to 86. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, but a three-year span of MVP awards, that's something to behold right there. It'd be cool if he won it again, but at this point, I think he's kind of out of it. When it comes to MVPs, you really kind of make it or break it in the first 20 games. Like if you are below your standard after 20 games or you're behind the eight ball, you're done straight up because someone in the NBA is going to just absolutely explode. And more often than not, if you're in the top two or three of the MVP conversation, you don't relinquish that unless you get hurt. So Embiid and Jokic, Lillard, they're not going to stop. So I think Giannis is pretty much out of the running for MVP, but you ask him, he doesn't care about that right now. He's focused on championships. But the Jokic and Embiid dynamic is going to be so fun to watch as we go through down the stretch because two centers being in the MVP conversation, I feel like we're taking a trip back to like 98 or something like that. It's like when we had Shaq, David Robinson, Hakeem, all those guys in the mix every year. It's like, it's almost like you're in a time machine. And it's a nice breath of fresh air because they both shoot threes, right? They're both modern big men. But they still get in the paint. They still bully. They still get boards. They got post moves for days. So it's just, it's a lot of fun watching those two guys operate. And I'm going to need to check the schedule and see when they play each other because that's going to be a great time. But that's about all I got, guys. I won't talk your heads off by myself anymore. Thank you for taking the time to tune into this episode. Just wanted to point out a few things that we should be keeping an eye on as we go down the stretch of the season. You know where to find me. My Twitter handle is here on the screen if you're watching this. A_A_RON25 if you're listening to this podcast. BC Basketball 2 is going to be the handle if you want to follow Business Casual Basketball on Twitter or Instagram going forward. Got some blog posts in the works, more podcasts coming soon, and like I mentioned at the beginning, great guests for next week. Great guests are going to be coming forward after this, so thanks for sticking with me at this one solo episode, but starting next week, the guests are coming back in fast and furious. But until next time, guys, I'll catch y'all later. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy this NBA season as we head into the one-year anniversary of the NBA shutdown. Just thankful and blessed that we have basketball back again. And I'll catch you guys on the next podcast here real soon. Take care.